Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I would say right now at this moment, we're at the halfway point of our broadcasting week. I think it's really good, Darren. I think we're doing a really good job. I'd like to hear some words of praise after this hour, because I know it's going to be great. Dr. George Delgado's here. It's a pro-life open forum for a full hour. If you have a question about life in any of its stages, if you want to know about the proper ethical treatment, perhaps in infants or preborn babies that are in distress, or that are the family's in distress or whatever, this is perfect for you to call. If you have questions about modern innovations, new techniques, and some old techniques that sometimes get a new name, like suicide or euthanasia. Whatever your question is about how to treat human life in all of its stages, we have just the perfect guest for you today. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. Dr. George Delgado is our guest, and you know Dr. Delgado because he's on here quite a bit, but you'll probably also know him because he's out defending human life in all of its stages, and in both word and deed, all over the place. And so we're delighted to have him. He's the medical director of Culture of Life Family Services, and he's the president of the Steno Institute. Dr. George Delgado, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I said you're a defender of life. I always want people to know this about you. You're the guy who invented, and you may want to share credit with others, I don't know, but I know you're the guy that invented the abortion pill reversal, which has saved human lives.
Well, I have to share credit, of course, with Dr. Matthew Harrison, who performed the very first abortion pill reversal. But I did found the Abortion Pill Reversal Network, now known as Abortion Pill Rescue. So I've been very privileged and blessed to be a part of this great effort.
And I know that secular media in particular has just applauded you, and but they're your biggest fans about all this. Sorry, that was a little sarcasm.
I know fake news.
Doctors who save babies are the villains in the modern world. I'm sorry about that. I know that your faith allows you to endure it, but it's crazy to me, some of the reporting on the fact that you can now save babies even after the mother has started the process of a chemical abortion.
Yes, it is. It's really amazing that we can offer women a second chance at choice. And these women who have that second chance at choice are so grateful that they have a safe and effective way to stop their medical abortions.
If you'd like to talk to Dr. George Delgado with your issue, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Before I go to the callers, however, everyone's a medical ethicist now. Because of this COVID-19, we're not all good at it. And I tell you, my mind changes day to day on what's appropriate, sometimes almost depending on who I just talked to. So what are the issues that you're seeing with the current state of things with COVID-19? What should we be thinking about? Give us a little help.
Well, I think, you know, what we really need is a healthy dose of perspective here.
Okay.
Because people have really been acting out of fear, especially policymakers, unfortunately, and many people in their everyday lives. And what we have to always look at, just like with any medical treatment, the correct medical treatment for one stage of the disease or one stage of the pandemic isn't always the correct treatment or correct intervention for another stage of the disease, or in this case, the pandemic. Furthermore, we always have to look at not just the benefits, but also the burdens of treatments and interventions. So by that, I mean we have to look at how burdensome mitigation measures are, lockdowns, restrictions on our personal freedoms, and what kind of benefit they're giving us. The director of CDC came out with a comment not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. He feels that the deaths due to suicide and the deaths due to drug overdoses are now exceeding the deaths due to the coronavirus. In other words, the mitigation measures have taken a huge toll on us from a social and a psychological standpoint. And so I can't stress that enough, not to mention people dying of diseases because they've deferred medical treatment too long and just ignoring things. So we really have to look at all that and look at things from a very smart perspective and know that the people who do poorly with this disease are those over the age of 65 and those with about 7 or 8 chronic medical conditions. So those people definitely have to protect themselves. They are the vulnerable. They have to be very, very careful. But the others in our population, the younger you are, the healthier you are, really it doesn't make that much sense to confine yourself in a cage. And in fact, we've seen that there is mitigation fatigue, what I call it. And if you look at some data from the CDC, it shows that in California specifically, when the governor ratcheted down on new restrictions when we started having more COVID-19 cases, that the CDC tracking the mobility and contacts of these people, that they did not change. In other words, people are starting to ignore these mitigation measures. The bars may be closed, but they're going out and hanging out with their friends elsewhere, maybe in a park or at the beach, what have you. And so we really have to take all of that into account, that people have kind of reached their limit, and we need to be more prescriptive and more precise in discriminating in our mitigation measures so that we can really protect the people who need protection, but not hinder and hamper the lifestyles of everyone else. And by doing so, we may be causing psychological tolls, social tolls, and certainly our economy has taken a big hit.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Yeah, the kind of, I find that in the thinking that says, you know, in a perfect world, this is how we would deal with this, but it's not a perfect world. And you have to be honest about how much people can really bear, because if you're not, if you deceive yourself about human nature, nothing you do is going to work.
Nothing's going to work, right? And, you know, this has been particularly painful for believers, particularly Catholics, who have not been able to go to Mass. For about 3 months, we were not allowed to go to Mass, and now in some states there are still some restrictions. And that those spiritual wounds really take a long time to heal, and we have to acknowledge that we are spiritual beings, and that we as Catholics need the bread of life, for example, in order to sustain ourselves, and that's not something that's unessential. It is an essential component of our lives, and it should be treated as an essential component, more important than going to the grocery store to buy the daily earthly bread.
But not as important as the casino. Like, what? I'm sorry.
According to the California policy.
Yeah, I was just going by the California rules, yeah. A bunch of folks on the line for you. Feel ready to take calls?
Ready.
All right. Dr. George Delgado is our guest. He's the medical director at Culture of Life Family Services and the president of the Steno Institute. He's the guy, along with another guy, who invented the abortion pill reversal. If you have a question about life in any of its stages, Dr. Delgado is also certified by the National Catholic Bioethics Center in medical ethics. So with all that, let's head to Alex in Buffalo, New York. Let me make sure I got the right line for you here, Alex. Sorry. Alex, go ahead with your question for Dr. Delgado.
Can you hear me real quick?
We can. Wow, yes, we can.
Perfect. Okay, sorry. Probably shouted it there. first of all, thank you for taking my call. The question I had was, a lot of times when I'm having conversations with people that are pro-abortion, the two big ones I hear about are, like, what about in cases of rape or incest? And then the other time I hear a lot of, you know, that they defend is, what about when the mother's life is in danger? And I actually had a friend who, you know, God bless her, when she was a teenager, she was raped, and she's very small in stature. So when she conceived the baby, her life was in danger. So she did end up having an abortion. But I was wondering how I might be able to talk to her, as well as just maybe talk to people that do go through those really tough situations that, you know, I think sometimes they get dismissed, I think, by people defending or that are pro-life by saying, like, well, that's such a small minority of the people. We can't really use that as the justification. But how would you talk to people that actually do go through those really rare occasions?
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, and it's important to know that those are rare cases, and those are used sort of as wedge issues to try to justify abortion. But you're right, when we're speaking to people who are either facing that dilemma or if they've been through that already, we always have to approach them with the utmost of humility, with love and tender, loving care. So So we have to be very, very gentle with these people because their emotions still could be very, very wrong. And we don't certainly don't want to seem like we're judging them. We want to come to them with the love of Christ. But that doesn't mean that we can't speak the truth and speak about, you know, rational thought and ethical problem solving. So when we talk about the instances of rape and incest, I always ask people, well, there is a perpetrator, right? The perpetrator is the rapist or the one who committed incest. And everybody knows there's a victim, right? The mother, the woman. But there's a second victim, and that's the child conceived in sin, a child conceived by rape or by incest. So really that child is the second victim. Now, to rectify the situation, you would never think of killing the first victim, the mother, right? No one would ever do that. Well, then, how could you logically then say that it's okay to kill the second victim, the preborn child? It makes no sense at all to kill that victim because of the sins of his or her father. So the justice should all be directed towards the perpetrator and not a misguided justice towards one of the victims. So that's the important thing I say about that. The other case you brought up is the mother who has a life-threatening condition. Now, the church does not say, nor does natural law say, that we cannot treat life-threatening conditions when a woman is pregnant. We can treat them as aggressively as we need to. However, there's an ethical difference that's very, very clear and very important, and that is that if you treat a mother's disease aggressively and the preborn child dies as a result of that, but it's an unintended result, and it's and the benefit of the treatment is because of the treatment itself, not because of the death of the preborn child, then that is morally acceptable if there is no other better treatment. So, for example, if you have a woman with a cancerous tumor in her uterus, and because of the stage of the cancer, the uterus needs to be removed in order to save her life, and it can't wait. And by doing so, you have the foreseen occurrence that the preborn baby's life will end because she's pregnant, but there's no other treatment, then you could do that, and that ethically would be okay. And that's in contradistinction to a woman who is pregnant, and the pregnancy is complicating an illness, let's say hypertension or heart disease, and the doctor performs a direct abortion in order to end the pregnancy and then to secondarily help her improve her health. That would be not acceptable. But in practical matters, in medical practice, we rarely come across situations. In fact, I've never really seen one where we couldn't offer a medical treatment that, although it could cause harm to the preborn baby, was still ethically acceptable because it was not a direct attack on the preborn baby. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex. We'll take a quick break, actually. We'll be right back with more Pro-Life Open Forum with Dr. George Delgado. By the way, if you want to call, there are lines open, three lines open at the moment, 888-318-7884. Two wonderful episodes of Catholic Answers Focus this week. Get them wherever you get your podcasts or listen at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. On Monday's episode, Father Sebastian Walsh, the author of Secrets from Heaven, joins us to consider today's struggles in the light of the gospel stories of Jesus asleep in the storm. There's more to that story than you might think. And then on Wednesday, we ask Trent Horn to tackle a very difficult question, the question of nothing. Is there really such a thing as nothing? Did God really make the universe out of nothing? Prepare to let your mind bend. Catholic Answers Focus is free and brand new twice a week and now also available on YouTube. Visit us at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe to Focus on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Almighty and ever-living God, Heavenly Father, faith tells us that nothing happens apart from your ordaining will or permissive will, and that you never permit an evil to take place without some greater good coming from it. We ask you, O Lord God, for an end to the coronavirus pandemic, for the healing of those infected with the virus, and for the blessed repose of the souls of those who have died from it. We ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Our guest this hour is Dr. George Delgado. He's the medical director at at Culture of Life Family Services. He's the president of the Steno Institute, and he's part of a group called COVID Planning Tools. What's that group about, Dr. Delgado?
So this is a multidisciplinary group of physicians, statisticians, engineers, and economists who have looked at the whole COVID situation. And one of our engineers has actually developed something called the Monte Carlo model, which is a very sophisticated model to explain and predict the pandemic. And so we offer common sense solutions to for policymakers and others looking to really handle the pandemic in the best way possible to minimize the burdens and maximize the benefits. It's COVIDplanningduels.com if you're interested in reading more about it.
All right. If you have a question for Dr. Delgado here about life in any of its stages and about the respectful, dignified, and even charitable care for life in all of its stages, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Up next in Kentucky, watching on YouTube Live, Joshua, your question for Dr. Delgado.
Hello, my name is Joshua, as you probably know. My question has to deal with suicide. In the sense that I'm a suicide attempt survivor, and I addressed it in confession when I was converting into Catholicism.
Okay.
But is there anything else that suicide attempt survivors need to do according to Catholicism?
Okay. There was just a little bit of trouble, so I want to say, just in case the listener didn't hear, Joshua in Kentucky is a survivor of a suicide attempt himself. He addressed that in confession when he came into the Catholic Church and is asking Dr. Delgado, is there anything else that a survivor of suicide should be thinking about or doing?
Well, certainly. I'm glad that you're in our family in the Catholic Church, Joshua, and I'm glad you survived the suicide attempt. In general, with suicide, people who've had suicide attempts should have ongoing psychological care, preferably with a good Catholic therapist. That's very, very important. In general, suicide can kind of be divided into two groups, if you will. Something that is often called suicide actions, which are actually sort of cries for help. These generally are more commonly with women, and these are less lethal attempts at suicide, for example, wrist slashing and things like that. More lethal attempts, for example, attempted hanging, slashing of the neck, or taking large number of lethal drugs. Those kind of are in a different category. And the people who have attempted those more lethal types of suicide and have survived need much closer follow-up and much more intensive psychological therapy really throughout their lives, because they are at much higher risk of later attempting suicide and completing suicide. So either way, you really need to have good psychological care with a good Catholic psychologist. The more serious the attempt, the more intense and ongoing that treatment has to be. And certainly there is a strong spiritual component to this, and staying close to the sacraments, having a very deep prayer life, and offering all hurdles and challenges in your life to Jesus are very, very important, uniting those challenges with the passion of his cross.
Joshua, is that helpful to you?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Very good. I'm glad it was helpful. God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling and sharing. And you, please understand that many, many listeners are praying for you. I'll ask the folks over on Facebook to post their prayers over there for you, because they love to pray for people who call here. But Joshua, it was a delight to talk with you. Thanks. Call again anytime. We're talking with Dr. George Delgado. Dr. Delgado is Medical Director of Culture of Life Family Services. He is a physician trained in general medicine and palliative care, as well as being trained in ethics at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. So if you have questions about life in any of its stages, you are welcome to call with your question, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Kevin in Loveland, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Kevin in Loveland, Colorado, your question for Dr. George Delgado.
Yes, Dr. Delgado, thanks for having me on. I was at a pro-life bill that's being, it's a legislature in Denver, Colorado here maybe 2 years ago. And you were a professional witness on a legislation. And you mentioned that at that point, the statistics were showing that the case of fetal deformity was actually lower in the general, in among the children who had been saved from abortion through the reversal procedure than the case of fetal deformity in the general population. And I'm a sidewalk counselor. I spend 5 days a week in front of abortion clinics all over northern Colorado. And I've used that many times to demonstrate the tenderness and of God's heart toward those who are repentant, who want to change. You know, they plead for the, beg for God's mercy for what they've done. And if that's true, that's very telling about the nature of God's heart towards those who are repentant. And I'm just wondering if statistics are still leaning in that direction.
Doctor?
Yeah, since I testified before the that committee of the Colorado Legislature, we've actually published a paper of tracking over 250 women who had successful reversals. And in that paper, we show that the birth defect rate is slightly less, but statistically about the same of the general population. So we're very heartened by that. And other data about mifepristone and as well as progesterone shows that they do not cause birth defects. So we're very confident that the abortion pill reversal process is very safe and, of course, effective. So, yes, that is still true, that does not cause birth defects.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. It's pro-life open forum if you have questions about the care of life. But lots of Catholic folks, Christian folks call, all kinds of people of goodwill call, because there's this particular issue that they would like addressed about how to handle a particular disease or how to handle the different stages of life. But if you're a person who's not a Catholic and you just don't understand what it is we're talking about when we're talking about being pro-life or that kind of thing, I want to assure you, your call is welcome. 888-318-7884. Claudia, also in Colorado. We're popular in Colorado today. Claudia in Colorado, also listening on 1060 AM. You are up next, Claudia. Your question for Dr. George Delgado.
Thank you for being there, doctor. My question is more like in terms of if we need to educate parents about this situation that used to happen in my time. When I was a teenager, I recall that some of my classmates have some hormonal ups and downs. And if I recall well, they were prescribed the pill to even for like acne control. I don't know if that's something that is current now and if there is a reason for Astro-Life groups to kind of like be aware that this, if we hear the mothers saying that the girls have to take the pill to control, to regulate the hormonal disarrangements, is that something of concern at this point?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for the question. We do get quite a few people who ask actually about particularly acne or other hormonal effects or symptoms that come from hormonal imbalances, want to know, is it all right that my doctor prescribed contraception? There are, in fact, concerns with this. I know this because Dr. Delgado has talked about it before. Dr. Delgado, can you kind of review for us what the ethics of this are?
Sure. These are the so-called non-contraceptive effects of the birth control pill, and they are touted as a kind of a way to justify, and I think oftentimes that some physicians will use it as a way to get teenagers in particular on birth control pills when they're hesitant or their parents are hesitant. Now, there are risks with this from a medical standpoint. We now have large number of articles that show that women who take hormonal contraception, particularly before a first-term pregnancy, have a higher risk of breast cancer. So that's a big concern there. There also is a concern that a young lady who otherwise would be abstinent, knowing in the back of her mind that she's on the hormonal contraception for some other reason, but knowing that she, quote, can't get pregnant, may no longer be chaste.
Doctor, I want you to take a little more time to continue to answer this, and we're up against the hard break. So, Gloria, thanks. Hang on. We'll get Dr. Delgado to finish his answer right after this. We're talking about using hormonal contraceptions to treat other afflictions, especially in teenage girls. More on that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
To many people, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I'll give you the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Dr. David Anders here. Where is purgatory in the Bible? Why confess my sins to a priest?
Find out more tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on Call to Communion.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We've got Dr. George Delgado with us this hour for a pro-life open forum. It's always a great opportunity to get to ask questions of someone who knows both the medicine and the ethics. So if you have questions about the beginning of life, illness in the midst of life, or end of life issues, today is the day for you to call 888-318-7884. Dr. Delgado is medical director at Culture of Life Family Services and the president of the Steno Institute. And he's happy to take your call. Just dial 888-318-7884. We were talking with Claudia in Colorado before we went to the break, asking about the ethics, really, of using birth control pills to help with hormonal health issues, especially in teenage girls. I had to interrupt you in the midst of the answer, your answer, Dr. Delgado. I apologize for that, but go ahead and continue.
It's okay. The music can't wait. So, yes, getting back to that, the so there are risks, including depression, weight gain, and other risks, of less common risk of birth control pills. And there are some interesting studies done called sniff tests, where women were tested to see what kind of man they would be attracted to by smelling a T-shirt worn by different men. And they found that women were attracted to different men depending on whether or not they were on birth control pills or not. And so you can see the danger there, where if a woman is on birth control pills for, quote, non-contraceptive reasons, falls in love with a man, gets married, gets off the pill, and suddenly finds out she's no longer in love with him. So you could see the social, interpersonal problems that could lead to.
Yikes, yeah.
And so, and with all of this, for any of these conditions, including acne, we have much better treatments for them that don't have the side effects of hijacking the reproductive system. So I think when you look at it on balance, even if you take out, even if a woman is going to be completely abstinent, she's not married, that you still, the burdens are going to outweigh the benefits because of all the things I've listed. And we have much better treatments for acne and for mood swings and other things. If there are mood swings and things consistent with premenstrual syndrome, then I would advise seeing a naprotechnology doctor who can use supplemental bioidentical progesterone and give it in the parts of the cycle when it's needed and not just hijack the reproductive system.
I hope that that's helpful to you. Claudia, does that make sense? No. All right. Claudia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did that make sense to you, Claudia?
Yeah, it makes sense. The only part that I couldn't hear well because I have my phone and not the radio is what the doctor said about something with the attraction. I couldn't hear that part.
Oh, yeah, but the sniff test. You missed the sniff test part. Well, Claudia, go ahead. Go ahead, doctor.
So, yeah, so the sniff test, they had women smell T-shirts that were worn by different men, and they found that women were attractive to different kind of men, whether they were on birth control pills or not. They also did similar tests like this where they showed pictures of men, and the women who were on birth control pills actually chose men who were less classically manly and more likely to choose men who were more effeminate. So women off birth control pills, in other words, chose strong men, while women on birth control pills did not choose men who are so strong. And those preferences would change when they went on or off the birth control pills, and you could see how that could really potentially damage a relationship.
Thanks very much, Claudia. I appreciate the call. 888-318-7884, our number here. Amanda in Fort Wayne, Indiana, listening on the EWTN app. You are up next on our Pro-Life Open Forum. Amanda, your question for Dr. George Delgado.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you, Amanda.
So, Dr. Delgado, I'm actually in my last year of pharmacy school, and so I'm in my clinicals right now. And luckily, I've been, God willing, I have not had to encounter any problems yet in, you know, defending basic human life from conception to natural death. I thank God every day that I haven't had to encounter that yet. But I was just wondering, what would be some good pro-life resources for healthcare professionals, whether we're soon to become a professional or have been in the business for many, many years? What would be some good resources for us to use to kind of help further advocate for the sanctity and dignity of our patients, whether they're unborn or nearing death?
Well, for you, especially Pharmacists for Life would be a great group to learn about, and you can find them online. Additionally, the Catholic Medical Association has a wealth of information, great conferences. In fact, coming up later in September, they're going to have their first ever online conference because of the COVID-19 pandemic. There would be a great resource. And the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, also known as APLOG, aplog.org. They are a great resource to a lot of cutting-edge pro-life news that would be very interesting to anybody who has any kind of healthcare connection.
All right, we will leave it there. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. We have an anonymous caller next. Dr. George Delgado is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. Thank you, Amanda, for that call. Anonymous, your question for Dr. George Delgado.
Hi, Dr. Delgado. So I'm calling anonymously just because I feel like the culture of medicine is very antagonistic towards, you know, I suppose, Christian values. And, you know, I kind of was curious, or I wanted to hear your opinion on, you know, how you can proceed and practice medicine according to your values without kind of becoming a leper or becoming ostracized.
Well, it's very difficult, and it's not at all an understatement to say that modern medicine is antagonistic to Christian values. It's overtly antagonistic. And so it takes a lot of strategy. It takes a thick skin, and it takes a lot of prudence. So what, and it depends on where you are. You know, if you're in training, you have to be much more quiet than once you're out in practice. If you're in a solo group or a small group with some support, you can be more vocal than if you are in a big group that has a lot of people watching you. So it really depends on the situation. But I think what I've always had as my strategy is that I've never really sought conflict because I knew that conflict would always come to me. So there's always going to be enough conflict and challenge to you. But you always have to make sure that you never betray our Lord Jesus. And so that means that you never go against your core Christian values. That's extremely important, no matter what, even if it means losing your job, because nothing is worth it to compromise your values. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean, like I said, that you have to go out seeking conflict and broadcasting everything you believe. No, it's okay to stay under the radar and to know that you're doing good with everybody you meet. But you also can't use that as an excuse to remain silent when it's time to speak up. And we have to know that physicians in particular, but all healthcare professionals, they do have a special voice in these times when life is being attacked at all of its vulnerable points. And people will listen to us. And when we do raise our voices to speak, we always have to speak charitably and in measured tones and with science, and always speak rationally. Not exaggerate, always be fact-based, but always speak the truth. I think if you do that, people will respect you. You'll still be attacked, and you still might suffer greatly. But as long as you know that Jesus promised that, he promised that we would be persecuted just like he was persecuted. So if you're not facing at least some persecution, then you're probably not doing things the way Jesus would want you to do them.
What do you make of that, Anonymous?
That really spoke to me. So thank you, Dr. Delgado.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm always inspired when medical professionals call or people who are approaching the medical professions call, because it's tough out there, and there are lots and lots of good people who do want to practice medicine in a way that's consistent with basic morals and also consistent with the teaching of Jesus.
That's right. Yes. And he will be there for you. And if I could just share a story, in the past, I had a job where I was being attacked for my Christian values, and I was really on the brink of losing my position. And I held true to my values, but I also redoubled my efforts to do a great job as a physician in that position. And I also made it clear that I would be defending myself up to my best ability according to the law. And it turned out that I was not discharged from my position. I kept my position. I was able to do a lot of good. So I really felt that at that point, the Lord really stood by me. And I used my common sense, but I also was true to him. And when you do that, things will always turn out right. Not always in the short term, but always in the long term.
What a wonderful testimony, and I hope that there are other medical professionals listening. Anonymous, thank you so much for that call. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Dr. George Delgado. And if you have a question for Dr. Delgado, it is welcome here. It's Pro-Life Open Forum, 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, Dr. George Delgado, our guest, and it's Pro-Life Open Forum. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you prefer the spelled version, it's 888-31-TRUTH. Before we go back to calls and our conversation with Dr. George Delgado, I want to remind you that you can get a free class from Jimmy Akin. It's part of his beginning apologetics course, which is the first course in the new, very exciting, and thus far very successful Catholic Answers School of Apologetics, the School of Apologetics already reaching around the world. You can get a free class to see if you want to take the full course, and you just do it by going to catholic.com/free trial. Catholic.com/free trial. You register there, you get your free lesson. And if you like the course, if you think, yeah, I do want to take this course with Jimmy Akin, they give you $50 off because you registered there. Perfect, no risk opportunity to check out the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics, catholic.com/free trial. Our number here, 888-318-7884. Dr. George Delgado, our guest, a longtime defender of life, both materially as a physician and immaterially as a man of ethics and communication, helping other people to understand why it is important to defend life in all of its stages. On Facebook, Dr. Delgado, somebody wanted to know about the death penalty. Specifically, do you have any reading material about the death penalty? This person who asked this question, Ika, says her state is trying to reinstate the death penalty. You want to give us a little primer on where the death penalty fits in all of this pro-life conversation?
Yes, I think it's important because oftentimes people who are pro-abortion will use that as an argument against people who are pro-life. If you're pro-life for the baby, why aren't you fighting so hard for banish the death penalty? So I think there are several angles to look at here. First of all, we have to look at the magnitude of the problem, and we have about 1 million abortions every year in the United States, and probably 20 or less executions in the United States every year. Now, every life is precious, of course, and you can't say that one life is more important than the other. But the magnitude of the problem is just a very significantly different when you're talking about 1 million versus less than 100. So that's why we focus our efforts there. The other issue is that the preborn baby who is aborted is an innocent person, and killing an innocent person is an absolute evil. It's never justified. It's never justified to kill an innocent person. While the person who receives capital punishment is presumably a guilty person if our justice system worked correctly. And there are instances where the church traditionally has taught that the state has the right to take the life of a guilty person. And those are instances traditionally where that person was such a grave danger to society, i.e. the person could escape from prison and could continue to harm people, or could even operate from within the prison and direct others in very, very serious criminal activity, or that there was such a case in the society that the deterrent effect of the execution would be so important to in order to stop further killing. So there are situations, even in our modern world, where the death penalty probably could be justified by to be used by certain governments. You can think back to the different cartel warlords, such as that were arrested in Mexico and Colombia and other countries, who kept escaping from prison because they could easily pay off the guards, they could dig tunnels, whatever they wanted to do, and then they could go out and direct their organizations that were killing hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Or other countries where they simply cannot safely house criminals because those criminals are going to be able to escape. Now, in our country, many would argue, and I feel that it is a very strong argument, that because of our modern prison systems that we can safely and effectively incarcerate people who have committed very serious crimes for the rest of their lives. And as long as we have them incarcerated for the rest of their lives, that society is protected, that the death penalty may not have a place here in our country and in this point in time. So I think that would be the better argument to take, knowing that there are these real ethical nuances. There's a difference between killing an innocent person, i.e. the unborn, versus killing a guilty person, i.e. the properly convicted, very serious criminal.
Thank you very much, Dr. Delgado. Dr. George Delgado is our guest. It's a pro-life open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Up next is Paul in Naples, Florida. Paul in Naples, your question for Dr. George Delgado. Paul, you there? You're on the air.
Yeah. Okay, I'm on the air?
Yes, you are, Paul. Your question for Dr. George Delgado.
Okay. My point is, people like Nancy Pelosi and even Biden, who they're pro-abortion. And how is it that if they're pro-abortion, how can they be Catholics and in a position like they're in where they influence so many people? They
okay.
should be either excommunicated. That's what I feel.
Okay. Well, Dr. Delgado is a physician and not a bishop, so he's not directly responsible for excommunicating anybody. But I'm sure you have an opinion on this, Dr. Delgado. I don't know if you want to share it with us, but
well, no, I would never pretend to be in a position to give bishops sound advice. But I think all Catholic faithful should have a voice in this, because remember, we are the body of Christ, and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are part of the body of Christ. They have certainly separated themselves to a great extent by supporting the killing of preborn babies, and by at the same time proclaiming themselves as, quote, faithful Catholics, and I think also even receiving the Holy Eucharist. There are certain canon laws where people who are obstinate public sinners or who are strong proponents of abortion, that they actually may, by virtue of their actions and their words, incur excommunication automatically. So really, it does fall on the shoulders of our bishops to be strong witnesses to that and to proclaim these people as being far outside of the fold of traditional Catholic teaching, and that they certainly need repentance. Now, I have been privy to some knowledge of a certain bishop who is having conversations with a prominent Catholic pro-abortion politician and is trying to make headway there. So I really applaud that. I think more bishops need to do that. I think they, in my humble opinion, they probably need to be more public with it and probably need to put the pedal to the metal, so to speak, and accelerate the course and really, really get moving on this. Because the longer they wait, the more there is a feeling that the church is complicit in this, that that really this is not important, that you can really do whatever you want as a Catholic, because silence is louder than words. And so I really think that and hope and pray that our spiritual leaders will stand up and really be vigorous in defending the church, defending the faith, and defending life.
Paul, I hope that that's satisfying to you. We do have bishops on from time to time, and I'll tell you what, when we have them on, they almost always get this question. So it is certainly something that, that many, many lay folks feel strongly about. The bishops are getting the message there that the lay people do want a clearer witness, but they have a tough job, those bishops. I mean, sometimes, as Dr. Delgado said, you have a politician. As a matter of fact, I know of a politician like this who the bishop said, you can't present yourself for communion and hold that position. And so the politician stopped presenting himself for communion. He just stopped. So actually, the bishop's job is done at that point. The politician is not, they're not disobeying. I mean, in a general moral sense, of course, they are. So sometimes there are subtleties to this that are difficult. But I will stop adding my voice to that. Dr. Delgado answered the question just fine. We'll move on then. Paul, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jonathan in Chicago, Illinois. Jonathan, your question from Chicago for Dr. George Delgado.
Dr. Delgado, with regards to women who are experiencing perimenopausal in their 40s, whether they're mild or severe, but they're still, you know, the progesterone and the estrogen is a little bit imbalanced. What would you recommend? Because all the gynae doctors are, like, if you're skipping a period or if you're having heavy bleeding, it seems like it's contraceptive is what they're looking for. But what are the over-the-counter, or those supplements that I see out there that are approved in Europe and the United States that that you can take just to kind of to keep things sort of in balance.
Okay, I'm going to let Dr. Delgado answer that just because we're coming up near the top of the hour. But and I think he's got your question. So this is common.
Yes.
Perimenopausal women will be prescribed birth control as a means of mitigating their symptoms?
Yes, and you know, unfortunately, okay. the birth control pill is the hammer, and so oftentimes many physicians will use that hammer for any problem dealing with the woman's reproductive system. But there are much more elegant and precise ways to treat these symptoms. So the first thing is, really, do the symptoms need to be treated? If the answer is no, then the woman can be safely watched and just let the body go through its natural changes, and there's nothing wrong with that. If she does have significant hot flashes or night sweats or palpitations or other things, she can take black cohosh, which is an herbal supplement. It's not recommended to take that more than for about 6 weeks because it does increase estradiol or estrogen levels, and it at least theoretically could cause precancerous changes in the uterus. If longer treatment is needed, then I recommend using bioidentical estrogens and progesterone. Their estrogen is to help with the symptoms, and the progesterone is to protect the uterus from the effects of the estrogen. And I always try to use the lowest effective dose for the shortest period of time possible in order to avoid any kind of side effects. And I think that's probably a pretty safe and effective way to approach the problem of perimenopausal symptoms.
Thank you very much for the question. Appreciate that. It does seem like we get a question about doctors prescribing birth control to teenage girls because of acne, to women who are approaching the middle of their life because they're experiencing perimenopausal symptoms. Are doctors, especially OBGYN doctors, just taught that, hey, throw these hormones at the problem and that'll take care of it?
They are taught that the birth control pill is the most wonderful thing since sliced bread was invented. And it definitely is their hammer. So when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And they try to use it for everything unless a woman is at that point trying to conceive, in which case they don't use it. And if the woman can't conceive, then of course they leapfrog to IVF. So it's very, very unfortunate that the mindset of many of these doctors is not in keeping with the natural design that God gave us. And it's not seeking to correct problems, but instead just to circumvent, block, or replace the reproductive system.
You can find Dr. George Delgado. Tell me the website where people can find what you write and what you and your work.
Sure. So stenoinstitute.org and covidplanningtools.com.
Dr. George Delgado, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. It's always helpful to get in, to have you here to answer those tough, tough questions. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's great being here.
I think tomorrow we got 2 hours of open forum. I think I can confidently say that. I'm guessing Mark Brumley. I'm guessing Jimmy Akin. It's Thursday. It's that time. It's Tom Nash. I thought it was Mark Brumley. All right. Well, that's good. Tom Nash, Jimmy Akin, open forum. So join us here. If you've got any question at all about the Catholic faith, whether you're Catholic or not, you get to ask your question tomorrow. Don't forget about trying out your free class at the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. Just go to catholic.com/free class and you can try one out. See you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.